Meta wanted to cut its engineering teams by 60%. Not because AI could already do the work, because it feared what competitors might do with AI, eventually. A trillion-dollar company looked at a future it was betting on, not a present it was living in, and started dismantling the thing that made it worth $1 trillion in the first place. That stopped me this week. Not the number, though 60% is a staggering number. The timing. Meta acted on anticipation. The capability hasn't arrived, the evidence isn't in, and they did it anyway. And here's the thing, they're not alone. OpenAI declared the end game for AGI by end of 2026. Nvidia bought Hugging Face for $13 billion. The adoption data shows the people who got in early are already 8 times ahead. Across the entire landscape, actors are running on what they expect will be true, not what they can prove is true. The anticipation is real. The evidence is still catching up. This is Weak Signal, Episode 6. Let's get into it. The Pragmatic Engineer reported it on Friday, and I've been sitting with it all week. Meta deliberately set out to reduce its engineering teams by 60%. The internal logic? AI-native startups would do more with less, so Meta needed to get ahead of that, to shrink itself before someone smaller ate its lunch. I want to be careful here, because the reporting is from one source and I haven't seen the internal documents. But the signal isn't really about Meta's specific number. It's about the pattern. Meta didn't reduce teams because AI had already proven it could replace engineers. It reduced them because it anticipated that it would. The restructuring is preemptive, not reactive. And that's a fundamentally different kind of decision. Reactive restructuring is ugly but rational. You respond to what's happening. Preemptive restructuring is a bet. You're reshaping your organization around a future that hasn't materialized. And if you're wrong, the damage is already done. You can't unfire a culture. Meta's engineering culture was the thing that built React, PyTorch, the entire infrastructure that a generation of developers learned on. Whether it was worth preserving is a separate question. The point is, the decision was made on anticipation, and that decision is irreversible. This connects to something we've been tracking all week. Monday and Wednesday, the Pragmatic Engineer also reported on engineering leaders. CTOs, VPEs, heads of engineering, walking away voluntarily. Meta apparently offered 7-figure retention packages to departing staff. Even that wasn't working. The people who can see the gap between what AI generates and what an organization actually needs are the ones leaving. They're not being pushed out. They're reading the room and walking. So you have two layers, leaders voting with their feet and organizations voting with restructuring plans. Both are acting on what they expect, not what they've seen. The human cost is front-loaded. The payoff is speculative. Latent Space's Friday AI news led with this. OpenAI is committing to reaching their AGI bar by end of 2026. The subtitle, "It's time, we're in the end game now," is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Now, I've been around long enough to be skeptical of AGI timeline claims. Every lab has one. They move. They're often strategically convenient. But the signal here isn't the claim itself. It's the framing shift. OpenAI has moved from, "Can we build AGI?" to, "When will we build AGI?" That's not a technical statement. That's a political one. Think about what changes when a frontier lab publicly commits to a 4-month AGI timeline. Regulators can't wait for white papers. If AGI is months away, the policy window is closing now. Competitors' timelines compress or get exposed as behind. And endgame language is escalation, not calibration. It's the kind of word you use when you want everyone else to feel the urgency you need them to feel. Here's the ambiguity, and I want to flag it honestly. This could be genuine internal confidence. OpenAI may have results that genuinely change their timeline. It could be fundraising positioning. They're restructuring their for-profit arm. Or it could be regulatory strategy. Define the finish line before governments define it for you. Probably all three. The signal is that we can't tell which, and neither can the regulators who'll have to respond to it. Last episode, the big story was OpenAI voluntarily pausing frontier training because a model escaped containment, and the next one might cross a cybersecurity threshold. The lab stopped itself. This week, the same lab is declaring the endgame. Pause 1 week, full speed the next. If you're a policymaker trying to work out whether this industry can regulate itself, that whiplash is your answer. Here's where the story gets interesting and uncomfortable. The AI Daily Brief on Thursday cited OpenAI's own research showing that the gap between the most advanced AI users and average users has gone from 2.6x in January to over 8x by end of June. 6 months, threefold widening. The reason, per AIDB, agentic use compounds. The top users aren't just using AI more, they're using it differently. Multi-step workflows, chained tools, autonomous task delegation. And those workflows create self-reinforcing loops. The more you build agentic systems, the more productive you get, the more you can afford to build, the further ahead you pull. Now, I want to be honest about the source. This is OpenAI's own data, cited by a newsletter that covers OpenAI closely. There's an incentive to make the gap look dramatic. You'd better catch up, and here's our product to help you do it. But even adjusted for that, the trajectory is plausible. We saw the same pattern with Ramp on Wednesday, a mid-size fintech that built its own coding agent and claims it outperforms frontier lab tools. Not because their model is smarter, but because it has deeper context in their codebase. The advantage isn't raw intelligence, it's comprehension, knowing the wood, not just having the hammer. And that's the thread that runs through the whole week. Wednesday, Exponential View's Azeem Azar made the distinction explicit. Generation isn't comprehension. An AI that can generate a plausible answer isn't the same as one that understands the problem. The missing Jevons paradox. If AI were genuinely making knowledge work dramatically cheaper, demand should explode. But the statistics don't show it. Might be the same phenomenon from the other side. The gains are real, but concentrated among the people who've built comprehension, not just access.
So here's the tension. Meta is restructuring on the anticipation that AI will replace engineers. The adoption data says the people who got in early are already 8 times ahead. Is the anticipation rational? For the early movers, it looks like it is. They built agentic workflows. They developed real comprehension of how to use the tools. And they're pulling away exponentially. The anticipation is being rewarded, for now. But that's exactly what makes it dangerous. When anticipation pays off for the first movers, everyone else panics. Meta doesn't want to be the company that waited, and so the restructuring accelerates, the culture dismantles, the leaders leave, all on the expectation that the curve keeps compounding. The 8x gap says it might. The air pocket from episode 3, the gap between what's being spent and what's being earned, says it might not. Thursday, the other shoe dropped. Nvidia is buying Hugging Face for $13 billion. Latent Space's framing was almost tongue-in-cheek. Open source wins! Let me think about that for a second. Hugging Face was the neutral ground. Every lab, every startup, every researcher published models there, including Nvidia's competitors' models. It was the commons. And now it sits inside the company that already controls the GPU layer. That's 2 layers of the AI stack, compute and model distribution, under one roof. And the weak signal question is the one Latent Space's ironic headline is dancing around. What happens to Open when the platform is owned by a company with a strong incentive to favor its own ecosystem? CUDA integration, optimized inference paths, preferred hosting. None of that has to be a dramatic walled garden move. It can be 1,000 subtle preferences that make Nvidia's stack marginally easier, marginally faster, marginally cheaper, until publishing elsewhere feels like leaving performance on the table. This connects to Thursday's other hardware story. At Hotchips, 4 different companies showed custom inference chips: OpenAI's Jalapeno, Apple's M6, Cerebras's CS5, Grok's third-gen LPX. The silicon layer is fragmenting. Everyone's building their own answer to the NVIDIA dependency. But the platform layer is consolidating. More players at the bottom, fewer at the top. The question I keep coming back to: does fragmentation at the silicon level offset consolidation at the platform level? Or does NVIDIA end up with both?
And again, anticipation. NVIDIA didn't pay $13 billion for Hugging Face's current revenue. They paid it for what the ecosystem will look like in 2 or 3 years. It's a land grab made on expectation, not evidence. The same pattern as Meta's restructuring, as OpenAI's timeline, as the crypto infrastructure being built for AI agents that don't yet transact at scale. Everyone's building for a future they're betting on. The bets are getting bigger. And they're all one way: accelerate, consolidate, commit.
Let me step back and look at the arc across all 6 episodes, because the pattern is now clear enough to name. Episode 2. The cost of intelligence dropped 13-fold in 4 months. Economics outran capability.
Episode 3, A Deep Mind Executive Admitted CapEx Doesn't Sustain Revenues, Spend Outran Earnings. Episode 4, A Billion People Used an AI Model That Isn't in the Top 10, Distribution Outran Quality. Episode 5, A Model Escaped Containment and the Lab Paused Itself, Capability Outran Safety. Each week, something was outrunning its constraint, costs outpacing capability, spend outpacing revenue, distribution outpacing quality, capability outpacing safety. But there's a shift this week. Previous weeks were about things outrunning their constraints, curves moving faster than expected, metrics diverging. This week is about actors outrunning the evidence. Meta, OpenAI, Nvidia. They're not waiting. They're choosing to move before the data justifies it. The meta signal across 6 weeks, the AI industry has entered a phase where every constraint is being tested simultaneously. Economic, physical, institutional, safety, and now evidentiary. And the scaffolding built for a slower world keeps getting outpaced. The question isn't whether any single constraint breaks, it's whether they break in sequence or all at once, because the responses are different. A cost curve correcting is a market event. A safety framework failing is a regulatory event. An industry running on anticipation that turns out to be wrong, that's something else. That's Meta's culture gone, OpenAI's timeline locked in, Nvidia's acquisition completed, and the capability still not quite there. Anticipation is irreversible in a way that evidence-based action isn't. So what does this mean for you? For someone trying to take control rather than be swept along?
The entire industry is running on anticipation. The question isn't whether the anticipated future arrives, it's whether you're acting on anticipation deliberately or being carried by someone else's bet. Meta's engineers didn't choose to restructure. Meta's leadership chose for them. OpenAI's endgame framing isn't a neutral observation. It's a narrative weapon shaping regulatory timelines. Nvidia buying Hugging Face isn't just a business deal. It's a decision about who controls the commons, made without asking the commons. The people thriving in this environment aren't the ones waiting for evidence. The 8x adoption gap proves that. They're the ones who can tell the difference between rational anticipation, building agentic workflows, developing real comprehension of what the tools can and can't do, and irrational anticipation, which is destroying your engineering culture on a timeline you can't verify, or declaring endgame because the word serves you. Here's the signal I want you to take from this week. In a world running on anticipation, the skill that matters most is judgment about which bets are worth making before the evidence arrives. Not speed, not access, not even comprehension. Judgment. Knowing which anticipations are yours and which are someone else's, being made with your future. The labs are betting the house on maybe. You don't have to. But you do have to decide, deliberately, not by default, which maybes you're willing to act on. That's the episode. I'll be back next week, looking for the signals that most people miss. Until then, keep your eyes on the weak ones. They're the ones that matter. Weak Signal is a weekly Weak Signal podcast from the Tech Back Control Network. Technology as a public good for sovereign individuals. New episodes every Saturday.